Missouri's climate is conducive for growing all major species of turf grass, including C3 and C4. But as water resources diminish, we depend mostly, or we need to start depending mostly on warm season turf grasses for water conservation. And in California, most of the people, what they're doing or what they're striving for is green color year round. And at UC Riverside, what we've strived to do over the years is to create a perennially green C4 turf grass. And De Anza's oyster grass was a step in the right direction until we take a look at the winter color of tall fescue, as seen in these pictures. And what that did is it made us kind of think, and we also started thinking about other ways to increase drought tolerance. And we looked to strive also to create cool season turf grasses that can survive throughout the summer without added irrigation. One of the methods that we have used to do this is we've used the crosses or interspecific crosses for turf grass improvement in all different types of stresses. And this isn't a new topic or isn't a new method. It's been done in many different types of species, as you see on the screen. But we're focusing specifically on the Lolium festuca complex, and even more specifically on the Lolium perenne crossed with Festuca pratensis. These two genera are very closely related in agronomic and genetic traits. They're very easily distinguished via GISH, which is genomic in situ hybridization, and also FISH, fluorescent in situ hybridization. And you're able to distinguish between the chromatin of the tubed varieties when you're looking at either full species or hybrids. And this is also not a new hybrid. It's actually been seen a lot in the United Kingdom in a tetraploid version that they use for forage type. These hybrids that we created, our turf type hybrids of Festuolium at UCR, were created in a slightly different way. They were created by crossing a tetraploid Lolium perenne variety with a diploid Festuca pratensis. And what this did is it created triploid hybrids. Those triploid hybrids were back crossed to a tetraploid Lolium perenne. And what this did is that through that cross, you're able to select tetraploid hybrids. And those tetraploid hybrids, to decrease their vigor and increase growth that you get from a forage type tetraploid, and they underwent androgenesis. And through androgenesis, they were created into diploids. And those diploids were back crossed to SR4220, a standard diploid Lolium perenne. And they were subjected to drought and back crossed again, and also subjected to drought and back crossed again. I'd like you guys to take a look at the fluorescent chromosomes on the screen, and notice the high amount of yellow-green pigment in those chromosomes. And that yellow-green pigment is Festuca pratensis chromatin, and this will come into more clear view in a couple of slides. Through our drought selections, what we did is we took as much seed as we could get of these hybrids, as much as we were able to harvest from the seed plants in the greenhouse, and put them into lanes. And what you're seeing here is a picture of our most recent drought selections in the field. And what you're looking at is a single lane of Festuolium with two borders. The borders are tall fescue varieties. And you can see with the water withheld, and you can see the recovery after that. And through that selection, what we tended to find is that after two rounds of selection, the Festuca pratensis chromatin was focusing or being favored in one specific area. And that was on the tips of the short arms of chromosome 3, and also slightly on chromosome 2. And I'd just like to note that these intergressions or these chromosomes in Festuca pratensis have already been associated with drought, heat, and freezing tolerance, and also have been mentioned with deep rooting characteristics, but not fully significant, by the Humphreys Lab in the United Kingdom. So this brings me to my own research for my master's. And what I would like to do for my objectives for my master's research is, one, to phenotype these hybrids. I'd really like to jump in and see what these hybrids are doing under non-limiting conditions, and to see if that Festuca pratensis intergression in these Lolium perenne hybrids, if it actually is adding any type of deep rooting characteristics that are seen readily in Festuca pratensis. And I'd also like to take those results and quantify them in the field and really see if these Festuolium hybrids are actually drought tolerant or stress tolerant when looking into into stresses of drought and heat. And I really would like to verify once again that that Festuca pyrsensis ingression is even adding drought tolerance. So this brings me to my first study. The first thing I did is I did a phenotyping study in rooting columns in a controlled greenhouse. It was a randomized complete box study, and it involved basically a subplot design. It had three subplots, and there was a subplot for each month of collection, 1 month, 2 month, and 3 month. And it had five treatments. I'm going to go over the treatments with you guys so you understand what they are. The five treatments that were replicated were SR4220 Lowland Perennial Variety, which is the recurrent back cross parent to our Festerling varieties, Paschef Festuca Pratensis, which is just a representative Festuca Pratensis variety because we were unable to get the original Festuca or Festuca Pratensis variety from Poland, a zero insertion Festerling variety, meaning that it is a Festerling hybrid, but when these plants underwent FISH, so when they underwent fluorescent in situ hybridization, we were unable to see any yellow pigment color that we looked at before. We were unable to see any Festuca pratensis chromatin in that genome. Then we have a 95% verified homozygous for the short arm on chromosome 3 intergression line of Festerling. And we have tulsatine, which is just a standard tall fescue that we put in the study as a commercially available check. The tubes were a 5 centimeter by 160 centimeter tube lined with a plastic sleeve and filled with sand. I'm going to go into the data collected over the next couple of slides so you guys can see that. What we have here, when I harvested these roots, what I did is I pulled the sleeve from the tubes. The sleeves were pulled from the tubes and cut into three sections. They were cut into 0 to 30, 30 to 60, and 60 to 160 centimeter zones, or just sections of these root tubes. And this was done at 1 month, 2 month, and 3 month growth stages. So we were really trying to see that trend of growth over a time period. And what you have here are five representative pictures of the five treatments, starting with the Lowland Perennial SR4220 and the Festuca pratensis, the two Festerling varieties, and tulsatine. And I'd really like you guys also, once again, to look at the Festuca pratensis rooting zone for 60 to 160 centimeters. The pictures are kind of small, I apologize, but you can definitely see the rooting mass for the 60 to 160 centimeters. It's very large in Festuca pratensis. And the rest of the varieties, you don't see that. And this is actually for the three-month harvest, as listed. What we have here are the ANOVA tables. We collected data for above ground and below ground. So I'm just going to be presenting the below ground biomass as for root dry weight. I'm going to be presenting that for limitation of time. What we have here are the ANOVA tables for the 3 months. At 1 month, I'm going to go over it quick. You start seeing a trend. Root dry weight for 0 to 30 centimeters was highly significant. Total root and root shoot ratio. For the 2 month data, it was 0 to 30 centimeters, 30 to 60 centimeters, and also total root and root shoot ratio. Then for the 3 month data, you see that all of the root dry weights are significant, including total root and root shoot ratio. And this graph is a representative graph of the total root biomass dry weight for 0 to 60 centimeters of all five treatments over the three-month period. And they are basically, they have added significant groupings with them. And I want to show you guys that Festuca pratensis was always significantly above the rest of the varieties. At first month, it was grouped basically separately from all other four treatments, along with at two-month stage, it was grouped above all other four treatments. But at 3 months, it separated. So it separated slightly to the extent where Festuca pratensis was above the rest of the treatments. Then you had your Lowland Perennial SR4220 and your two Festerling varieties grouping together. Then you had tulsatine tall fescue grouping below and significantly below. And this is a box plot with mean, median, and your standard error bars on top and bottom. And what they were is you see that same grouping for 3 months, the total root biomass dry weight. And you see the grouping as Festuca pratensis is much higher than all four other cultivars, but you see the grouping of the Lowland Perennial, the two Festerlings, and the Festuca renanaceae, or the tall fescue, below that. And it was very similar for root shoot ratio. This trended throughout the whole experiment at 3 months. So what you see is Festuca pratensis grouping high and the other four treatments grouping low. And the summary of this data told us that as for rooting characteristics that we measured, the Festerling populations were not significantly different from its parent backcross parent, or its recurrent parent, SR4220. It also told us that that Pascha, which was the Festubrescensis variety, was significantly larger in all rooting characteristics that we measured. And for most of the situations, I'm not going to say all, the Festulium was equal to or greater than the tall fescue, so in all rooting characteristics that we measured. And overall, it kind of trends us to believe that our Festulium varieties, they are showing increased drought tolerance, and we think that that increased drought tolerance is from something other than the adaptation seen in Festucopertensis of deep rooting. It's coming from something else, we're thinking. And that leads us to kind of looking ahead. We have a lot more studies planned, and we're really trying to develop more populations of Festucopertensis that are fully stable, something that we don't have to say is 95% cytogenetically verified. And we also want to evaluate the rooting characteristics under deficit irrigation in the greenhouse and also in the field. And what you see is the picture to the side is a study that we have ongoing right now that is actually a deficit irrigation of all of our Festulium populations in heterozygous, along with some tall fescue and representative lowland perenne varieties. And with that, I'd like to take any questions or have any comments or anything like that.
Questions for Brent?
What was the mowing height?
When we harvested clippings, we harvest them every 2 weeks, and they were cut at 5 centimeters, so roughly 2 inches. So, and they were in tubes. And the field studies at current height are at 5 centimeters also. Anything else?
Thank you, Brent.